This is Making Choices. Education, career, lifestyle. Your host, Ruth Alade.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? And welcome to another episode of Making Choices. Now, I'm going to start by saying I'm so sorry that I didn't have a show for you last week. That was just ill planning on my part. We actually had an amazing event with our organisation, New Inspiration. We had the Unity Dinner, which was for unmarried folk. And we had a great time in the City of London. If you want to find out more information, just check out our Instagram page at newinspiration.org. It's really that simple. We're probably going to have another one in the summer, or at least that's what I'm telling you guys, so I can convince everybody else on the planning committee that we should do one in the summer. If it doesn't happen, then hopefully I'll see you next year. Now, welcome to today's show. And today I've got with me a lovely lady by the name of Iffy Alexis. Say hello, Iffy.
Hey, everyone.
Now, so Iffy just got married, yes. And I've always called her Iffy Alexis. Now, my question is that still Iffy Alexis or is it changing?
It's still Iffy Alexis, but you can also call me Iffy Alexis Lee. Woo! Call me Mrs. Lee.
Woo! Okay.
Or anything like that.
Woo! I love that your new name works with like your old name.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, some people get married and it's like,
it doesn't fit.
Dum dum dum. And you're like, hold on a minute. This is going to be a hard pull together. But sorry.
The Lord made it work.
We thank God for He made it work. And I'm excited because she agreed to be on the show for today. And our theme for today's show is stepping out. And stepping out of the ordinary specifically. So I'm hoping that as you are tuned in and as you hear her story, you will be touched by the things that we essentially talk about today. We're going to start with uni life and who Iffy was when she was somewhat younger, maybe not that much younger,
yeah,
because she let loose like in a random conversation just before we got on air that I think you graduated how many years ago?
4 years ago.
Yeah. You're a baby.
Yeah.
Where am I? See, as she said that, I felt ancient because when I think about university, I'm like, it was in the O's. We're in 2018. It was in the O, whatever the number
Are you
is.
Sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
I know I look fresh, but trust me. No, it was in the O's. Uni, what were you like at uni?
University was it was a great time for me. I enjoyed my university experience. So before coming to university, I'd already made the decision to walk with the Lord, to commit my life to Him. So coming into university, it was really like an opportunity. I saw it as fresh ground, an opportunity to live out the gospel all the more. Mm-hmm. I guess my first year of university was interesting. I kind of had to live that out and kind of figure out how I'm going to do this. I remember thinking about friendship circles and you know which group of friends do I want to be with? Is this group of friends edifying me? One of the first things I did when I started university is I joined a gospel society.
Nice.
Which really helped in grounding me around godly believers. And in that Christian society, I was a part of the choir. I went on to be an events manager and then ultimately my final year president. So I was very much plugged in with the Christian society. The temptation to compromise was definitely there, though. Mm. I remember some of the friends that I was with, they loved God and stuff like that, but they also loved a bit of the world. Mm-hmm. And I remember that it would always be the tussle every time there was like an end of term.
Jam.
Yeah, end of term rave or whatever, you know, who's coming? Are you coming, Iffy? And I'd always say no. But I remember just thinking, do you know what? I always say no. Let me go and see what it's like. And I remember being in our university club or university bar, and I literally was there, and I was just like, I had a moment. I was like, why am I here? Why am I here? I had a moment where I was just like, I don't go to these places. I don't rave. I don't club. I don't drink excessively. But I had a moment of, why am I here? And I felt very convicted that I'd been speaking to my friends so much about living for Jesus and why we need to be unapologetic. Mm. And I had allowed peer pressure over the few months of university to kind of let me come to this place. And although I didn't necessarily do anything that was sinful, I definitely felt the conviction on my heart. And I remember going home and just saying, all right, it's not happening again. Definitely standing my ground. So university for me was, it was great. It was a good experience. It was a time that I think the Lord solidified my walk with him. There was just more passionate and intentional following after him. I think in university was a time where my faith was tested, but also my purpose became more evident to me, that I wasn't just your average person, you know. It was a time where I felt the Lord leading me to step out of the ordinary, to do something different. University was really, I guess, the place where the Lord created avenues for me to be unique in my pursuit of him.
That's really interesting that you say that, and I find that a lot of young people, when they go to uni, who were perhaps Christians before they got to uni, go with that intent. But not everybody walks out with the outcome that you walked out with. What are the things that you would maybe say to encourage someone who might be currently going through that tussle of I really want to live for God, but I also really want to go to that party, and I don't plan to do anything bad, I just really want to be there?
Oh, that's such a great question. I think what personally helped me was going to university in London, and I live in London, so that also meant that I wasn't too, you know, far out of my comfort zone. I wasn't in a completely different city, so for me that helped me. But what I would say to someone that is having that tussle was to really solidify your convictions. It's Joshua Harris that says a vague definition of righteousness will lead to compromise. So if you are unsure about what is right, if you're unsure about what you ought to do, you automatically go down the path of least resistance, which is sin. Entropy teaches us that everything naturally moves towards a state of disorder. So the path of least resistance is often the path that's followed. So we have to be very much aware of the lifestyle we want. You know, what does the word of God say? You know, am I sure that he's the path that I want? Because if I'm not, then I am going to fall into sin. And I think ultimately surrounding yourself with other believers that can help hold you up when you're weak, and those times where you feel like, actually, yeah, I want to go to the rave, actually, yeah, you know, I'm struggling in my faith, I'm struggling to believe that God is real, I'm struggling to believe that this Christian life is rewarding or is more rewarding than the world. I think having friends that can remind you of the great calling that you have in Christ will really pull you through at the end of the day.
I love that, because from what I hear you say, what you're saying is just be intentional. Like every single day, be intentional about the type of walk you want to have. What about, you know what, I have been intentional, but I find myself now surrounded with the wrong people. So I guess my personal example was I went to uni with all these great intentions, but I arrived, and because I can be quite bubbly, or I certainly was back then, everyone was my friend. And so as a result, I kind of pulled the wrong people around me, whether by intention or just because it happened. How do I now separate myself from those people, or do I even need to separate myself from those people?
I think firstly, friendships have to be built around purpose. It can't be built around personality. It can't be built around we like the same things. Friendship needs to be built around purpose. There'll be people that you are polar opposites in personality, but it's purposeful for you two to co-labor and come together in a friendship capacity. Friendship must be built on purpose. So I would say for the person that's struggling with friendship groups, to just really assess, to pray about the friends that they have. You know, God, what is the purpose for this person in my life? Are they someone that you want me to keep at arm's length, or someone that you want me to bring closer? Are they meant for the inner court, the outer court, the holies of holies? Are they nowhere near the tabernacle? Like, you need to ask these kind of questions to God. Are they nowhere near where God would have them be in my life? So that helped me solidify certain relationships. And then I found that God would be like, actually, no, this person is someone I want you to pour into, but I don't want them to have that much influence over you. So it kind of allows you to see, okay, this is more of a downstream relationship where I'm pouring in. And then there'll be relationships where it's peer level, and you're like, okay, God is like, okay, I want you to, this is your sister, I want you to settle, I want you to enjoy this person. So friendships can't be built on, I guess, bubbliness. And I think that that's the mistake that some of us make. We go towards people that look like us, people that sound like us, people that are from places like us. But that's not good enough when it comes to Christ. Relationships need to be built on purpose. They need to be functional. They need to be Christ-authored, because he ultimately has use. No friendship is without consequence. No friendship is without use to God.
Yeah.
He wants to do something with that relationship.
Yeah. Love that. Sometimes it's a downstream relationship. Sometimes it's an upstream one. Yeah. And sometimes you're just meant to be enjoying each other.
Yeah.
And it's that simple. But it's about asking God for the wisdom to decipher each and every relationship, mm-hmm. which it's meant to be. And actually, some relationships you're just not meant to be in, i.e. you're not meant to be their friends.
Yep.
And actually, maybe it was only meant for a specific point in time, and then a separation was meant to happen. So it's really asking God for wisdom.
Yep.
And the Bible says, if we ask, he will give to us liberally. My next question to you is one around purity. This is something that a lot of students struggle with. In fact, forget that. Most people struggle with
it.
No matter what stage in life you're, I mean, even married people struggle puberty, with it.
It's a struggle for most.
Period. How would you, especially whilst at uni, where you know everyone is experimenting, for lack of a better phrase, how does one as a Christian kind of stay away or remain pure?
That's such a great question. When I came into university, admittedly, I didn't have the right perceptions regarding purity. The messages that I often heard was, you know, purity is about closing your legs, don't have sex, don't get pregnant, don't do this, don't do that. And that was something that I had heard, but it hadn't entered into my heart properly. So although I entered university as a virgin, I was like, okay, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do this. It took possibly my first year, my second year, the Lord teaching me about what purity is. It's more than not opening my legs. It's more than the avoidance of evil. It's pursuing God and pursuing righteousness. It's more than just not sinning. God wants more from us than not to sin. He wants us to pursue him and to love him. And having that shift in my understanding of purity made it something that I would fiercely want for myself.
Yeah.
I want to be pure, not just in terms of not having sex, but I want my mind, my thoughts to be pure. I want everything that comes from the inside to be pure, because that ultimately affects the outside. So it was first renewing my mind in regards to what purity looked like. And I remember in my first year of university, I had a conversation with some of the guys on my course, some of the guys in the ACS, and we were speaking about purity, and I was just like, yeah, you know, I don't want to have sex until I'm married, you know, I'm not about that life, you know, keeping it locked until you get that rock, you know. And I remember the way these guys were laughing at me. They were just like, Iffy, you're a pretty girl, you know, like, it's not going to happen. And there was just a lot of that banter around it. And there were guys that I guess tried, and situations that it was tempting. But somehow the Lord always provided that way of escape. And it came all the way to my final year, where these same guys that were mocking me and ridiculing me were like, wow, Iffy, like, you're the real kind, like, you're wifey, you know how guys talk.
Yeah.
You know, like, you didn't do it, like, wow, you know, we respect you. So at first they ridicule you, then they respect you, is one thing I've seen. As long as you stick to your principles and stick to what you said, you can't compete with integrity. You can't fight integrity.
Yeah.
If you said it and you act it out, that's what ultimately matters. So purity matters. Purity is paramount. Your purity is paramount, particularly in university, when you're around so many people continuously, where the environment is set to sin. It's like the dial has been turned to make you sin. Like, that's the environment.
It's like just a bubble, this weird bubble.
It's a bubble of lust. It's a bubble of greed and pride. It's set to make you sin, but you can thrive, and you can thrive purely by the grace of God. He keeps you from stumbling, is what the Bible says. And I found that as I rely on that grace, he's kind of carried me through. He carried me through university, after university, all the way till I got married this year, and I know he'll continue to keep me. So purity is possible. I think that that's also a word that people need to hear, that it's not this standard that is impossible. It's not just God saying, you know, here's a carrot that you'll never that you'll never reach, you know.
But keep aiming for it.
You know, keep aiming. You might one day. But it's possible by the grace of God, because he makes us pure. The Bible says, be perfect just as I am perfect. And it's his perfection that perfects us.
Yeah.
So yeah, just learning to rest in that.
Yeah. And I can't agree any more than what you've just said, because I think it is that thing where people think it's an unachievable goal. And I find a lot of young Christians give up on the goal on the basis of, I can't be perfect, so you know what, why am I trying? But actually there is power in speaking it out, and sometimes it just takes for you to say something out into the air and into the open, and for other people to hear you say it, then at the very least you've got to keep your word.
Yeah,
and that keeps you going.
Yeah,
in and of itself. And I remember when I was at uni all those years ago, for me, I had a similar story where it was, I said it out into the open, this is who I am, right? And then people were watching to see whether you would deliver. And football, bit stubborn I am. And because of that, I was like, yeah, no, we're going to deliver on this promise.
Yeah.
So help me God. And God did help me, just like he helped you. And if he could help the both of us, we're not any more special than the next male or female. He can help every single person to achieve that goal of purity. You just got to make it your goal to begin with.
And even for people that have, you know, fallen and are trying to get back up, one thing I always hold in my heart is, just because you've lost your virginity, it doesn't mean that you can't regain virtue. You can still have purity through Christ Jesus. You can still begin again, because there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away and the new has come. So it's holding on to that and saying that, okay, yes, I may have sinned yesterday. Yes, I may have sinned, but you know, today's a new day. I'm going to rest in the grace of God. I've repented. I've asked for forgiveness, and I'm going to press on with the grace that he gives me.
And that's what the cross is about.
Yeah.
So if you are listening to this and you're like, this doesn't apply to me because I've fallen and woe is me, you don't have any excuse either. The cross has provided you that opportunity for purity again and again and again. Right. Wow. So leaving uni, in fact, what did you study at uni? We talked about everything else, but what you went there for.
So I got an engineering degree. And that was
Naija.
Kind of. It was fun for the first year and a half. it was enjoyable. But I think once I graduated, I was so sure I didn't want to work in it. And by that time, I actually started the ministry Love Limits. I know we're going to speak about it, but I started it in my second year, going into my third year. So I was just already passionate. I was like, I don't want this job. I'm not trying to work in this industry. I want to do something else. So I did get a job, but
just not the one that people assumed you were going to get.
Yeah.
And I think this is another thing that's important to call out. Going to university is bigger than the certificate you get at the end. In fact, it shouldn't be about the certificate. Everybody's ending up with an MN, BSc, BA, whatever, letters after their name. But what stands the test of time is not that certificate. It is what you walk out with. It's the virtue you walk out with. It's whatever gifting of God in you that you have managed to cultivate that you walk out with. So I love that you say, you know, you went to study an engineering degree, but actually you walked out with a ministry. You walked out with Love Limitless that still exists today. And I just think that's phenomenal. So if you're there and you're at uni and you're listening to this and you think, I hate my course, well, look above the parapet and stop being like, I hate my course. Ask God, I'm here now. How are we going to make this work? What will you have me do? Because even in that, you perhaps not liking your course, God can give you a renewed passion for whatever city you're in, whatever course you're on, or even whatever ministry he'll have you be a part of or have you start.
Definitely. I think using your presence as an opportunity to pray for the land, pray for that city, intercede for your classmates, all of those things are such a high calling. I mean, getting the accreditation is great. It's good. We should have that. But there's still so much more. I think in university, I became aware of certain gifts I had, the gift to speak, the gift to give advice. You know, when I'm in the library and I'm supposed to be studying, don't do what I did. But certain people are asking me for advice and I'm kind of like an agony aunt. I realized very quickly that, oh, wow, I really do love sharing wisdom, sharing advice. So I learned more about myself at university and learned about the gifts that God had placed within me. And if I was just focused on one thing, I would have completely missed that. So whilst your education is paramount, it's important. It's why you're there. There are so many other things that the Lord will teach you if you open up your heart and your ears to hear him.
I love that. I love that she found her ministry when she should have been studying. Look at that. So if you ever feel like you're wasting time, and actually it sounds funny, but there is a truth in this. If you ever feel like you're wasting time doing something and people are downing you for it, well, I say caution, if you're in the spirit, ask God about that thing you feel like, or other people might condemn you for wasting time for. The job I do today is not what I studied, but a lot of the things that I do in my spare time come out of passions that I also cultivated at university, which included talking, even though I did a computing degree. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. This is how it works, you know. And I think for African or Black children, our parents do push us in a certain direction because they want the best for us. I've said it before on the show. I would never down our parents for telling us to become doctors, lawyers, accountants, whatever. It's because they want the best for us, period, right? But in that, God, who fashioned you in your mother's womb, before your mother even necessarily knew you existed in her womb, knows exactly what he's created you for. Mm-hmm. And so those giftings will manifest. You just have to tap into it as they're manifesting.
That's right.
Mm.
That's right.
We're going to take a break. And we're going to go for Iffy's song. I asked her to come with a song. And she came with Desert Song by Brooke Fraser.
Favor and providence flow. I know.
Hope you enjoyed that song. I've still got Iffy with me, Iffy Alexis Lee of Love Limitless. And if you missed the first part of the show, shame on you. Why did you just come online? So hopefully you'll be able to get this online at some point. I'm working on it, I promise. But now we're going to talk about Love Limitless. So before we went on the break, we were talking about Iffy's ministry that she started while she was meant to be studying for her engineering degree. And that ministry still lives on till today. And it's called Love Limitless. If you've not heard about it, get onto their Instagram.
Yep, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, lovelimitless.com.
Look at that. Everything. Everything. So you've got no excuse. If you don't know about it, you can definitely get to know about it. How did that ministry start and where does the name Love Limitless come from?
Wow. So it was around 2011, I believe it was 2011, that the Lord, I guess I went through a time of frustration because my degree was causing me to be a bit frustrated, a little bit like, God, I don't want to do this. You know, I have a purpose, Lord. I have a purpose. Oh, you called me.
Why am I here?
You know, like, well, I can't. These lecturers be. You know, I had
help me, Jesus.
You know, I had a lot of questions for God around that time. And, you know, I went on a search of, you know, God, what gifts have you placed within me? You know, how can I glorify you all the more? And I knew that I had a passion to share what I had been learning through the word of God. So it was just like, okay, God, how can I share this all the more? And the name Love Limitless came to mind as I was reading Romans 8 and reading about the love that God has for us, you know, that there's no height nor depth, that nothing can separate us from the love that God has for us, that his love is truly limitless. And I really felt like it was a God name where God was just like, yeah, my limitless love that I reveal to my servants, that I reveal to my sons and my daughters. And that same love is what they're called to reflect. So that's how the name came to me. But moving on from that, I started sharing what the Lord was teaching me through scripture on our blog. We had a blog back then. And as I would learn and study the word of God, I just kind of put it out there. I remember I did a 7-week series on 7 women in the Bible. It was like called the Becoming series. So I did like Becoming Abigail, Becoming Esther, Becoming Ruth, Becoming Hannah. I can't remember who else I did, but I just would speak about this story.
Were you in final year when you were doing all of this?
Yeah, I was in final year.
How were you like doing your actual?
I don't know. I was blogging a lot. I did quite a few series, a series on healing, a series on redemption, just things that would come to mind. Like I'll be, you know, studying in my private time and I just felt like God was just really sharpening a teaching gift and a teaching grace in my life.
Yeah.
So I'd just put it on paper and then I'd find that people were reading it. And then just from, you know, writing all the more the following summer, I just felt like we need to hold a conference. And by this time I had graduated. So I graduated in June and July we put on our first ever conference. That was 2013. And that was an amazing turnout. We sold out that event and I was just like, wow.
How many people came?
People, we wanted over 100 people came.
Wow.
For our first, yep. And it was in Brixton. It was in South London and people came. Real South. People came out and it was an amazing time. Brains and Beauty won. And it was just looking at cultivating beauty, strengthening virtue, building character. Mm. And as women, being people that are more than just a pretty face, more than knowing how to do our hair or our eyebrows, but we are women of substance, we're women of virtue, we're women that have something on the inside of us. And that was the message that I really wanted to push forward. And God really sent women in their droves to come and receive the word. And we're so blessed and we just continued like that every single year with our annual conference. Over the years God has added so much to our repertoire as well. University tour, intimate workshops, Women Wednesday fellowship every single Wednesday. So there's a lot that we do to help.
Tell me
the
a little bit
female.
More about this Women Wednesday fellowship.
So Women Wednesday, we meet every single Wednesday, 7 till 9. We meet every single Wednesday, 7 till 9. We're in the process of finding a new venue at the moment, but all the information is at lovelimitless.com/ww. And it's for women of all ages that desire to grow in Christ. And it's just a fellowship where we come together, study the word, go through books in the Bible, people in the Bible, and just dive in deep.
What inspired you to start a women's fellowship like on a Wednesday? It just feels like a having just you have a blog,
yep,
and then you do like an annual conference. I get those. An ongoing fellowship. What made you do that?
I feel like it was kind of pushed on me by my pastor. I love my pastor. He's been such a monumental figure in my life. But yeah, I think it was kind of pushed on me a little bit. Like, yeah, you know, women's fellowship every week. And that's how it started. But we've been running it every single Wednesday for 3 years. And that has been epic. So for me, I think realizing the need to not just teach people from a pulpit or teach people through blog posts, but people need to network. People need to meet one another. People need community. We have people that go to different churches across the UK, across London, that come and they are blessed with the word of God. And it's not about denomination, it's not about church, it's just about I'm a sister, you're a sister, how can we edify one another? And that was really what I was passionate about, getting people to meet one another and uphold one another, pray for one another, support one another. So it's like a Christian support group where we go through the word of God and we allow the word to become our lifestyle.
Wow. And do you then disciple people as part of that, or is it just you come and you go and hope to see you next week?
Yeah, there's loads of discipleship that happens. Discipleship for me is a life on life process. It's allowing people to see how the word is lived out in your life.
Yeah.
So bringing people close, bringing in people as actual sisters, the same way we grew up with sisters around the table, you know, allowing people to see who you are, the real you, you know. And experience that. So we do that through our courses, also through events, through the fellowship, through meetups, through conversations, phone calls, any avenue that really we can find to disciple, we're all the way there, all the way with it. And I guess the idea is to make disciples that will make disciples.
Amen.
So teaching people how to do it as well. You know, why not get that young girl from your church and bring her around to your house and, you know, speak to her about her worth and stuff like that.
Wow. And so, in terms of love limitless, is it just for women? Because it's beginning to feel a little bit unfair, because it sounds like y'all are doing some juicy stuff, and my male listeners must be thinking, hold on a minute.
What about us? I hear that so much. I'm like, goodness. It is purely for women at the moment.
Okay.
But we do plan on having a few mixed gendered events in the future. And I think in this new married season, we'll see what happens.
Maybe Mr. Lee, shout out.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, it's for women at the moment. And yeah, I'm enjoying it. Our conferences, we do invite men. So we put men on the panel, get a male's perspective as to what it looks like to be a woman of God, a woman of substance, a woman of value, which I love, you know, when the men are speaking words over the sisters in the room. It's amazing.
Wow. How do you do all of this and keep down the job?
So I kept down the job for about a year and a half.
What were you doing?
Oh, so I was working in like admin, HR. Okay. Originally, I was just like, I want something that is like low energy. I don't want to have
pressure.
I don't want to have to think about it. I want something that I can do with my eyes closed. I was like, oh, HR sounds great.
Until
I got into it, and I was like, well, this is actually quite hard. It's a little bit demanding. So I was doing that for about a year and a half after graduating, and that was okay. There were seasons where it was really, really hard. I struggled with deep anxiety about work. I didn't like it. You know, I'd go to work, I'd be so tired from the night before where I had speaking engagements in the evening. So it was really hard juggling my work life and ministry life back to back. And it was really a few years in, a year and a half in, that I really felt the Lord releasing me from work. But I thought I was leaving to have, you know, downtime, pray, you know, and then get back into something. But as soon as I handed in my resignation, I was like, okay, this feels a bit final.
Wow.
This feels a little bit final, you know. Is this...
How long ago was that?
3 years.
3 years.
January 2015, yep. 3 years of faithfulness.
How do you cope with, like, not having a job? Life must be sweet in terms of time, but... everything else.
You'll be absolutely surprised. I see it. It's more than a full-time job. It's work. It requires me to be available and usable for God as however he calls me, whenever he calls me, wherever he calls me. So it requires a lot of dedication, a lot of self-motivation, a lot of, I guess, knowing that ultimately my goal is to make disciples. So how am I going to do it? It requires innovation, inspiration. It requires a lot. And I find that, you know, I guess different to secular work sometimes is that you're drawing on the spirit as well as the flesh, as well as the soul, really. You're drawing on every aspect of your body, you know, divine revelation, you know, in order to continue the work. Even admin responded to emails, you're like, Holy Spirit, what should I say? Whereas in the secular workplace, it was just like, yeah, you know, I know how to respond. So it's been a lot. It takes up a lot of my day, a lot of my time, but it's flexible and I love it. And I enjoy the fact that, you know, where the Lord sends me, I'll go. But it's not without its difficulties. I don't think any path that is worth walking is without its difficulties.
Yeah.
So it has been, there are times where I doubt my competence. I doubt myself. I doubt the calling. I'm like, God, out of all the people that you could call, like, are you sure you called me, Lord? Is it me? Was it if your Alexis is really Lord? So there are times where I'm just like, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. Getting a job is a lot easier.
Yeah.
But sticking in this and allowing the Lord to use me has been the harder path, but it's been the path that has bore so much fruit in my life. Wow. And has been so fulfilling.
Yeah. How did you how did parents or family respond to you saying, I'm about to quit my job, or I've just quit my job, and by the way, I don't know when I'm gonna go back to a job?
I mean,
in the traditional sense.
Yeah. I mean, my dad still was like, oh, have you found a job yet? I'm like,
because they think you're job hunting.
I'm like, 3 years later, Dad, come on, let's get with the program, Papa. Let's get with the program. My mum, it took her a while to come over. Initially, when I handed my resignation, I didn't tell her. I mean, it wasn't until she probably saw me at home, like 2 weeks later. She was like,
this holiday. It's been going on for some time.
And I was just like, oh yeah, mum, so I resigned, I finished my notice period. And then we had a conversation about that. It took her ages, maybe a year, to really kind of come around in thinking. But I think, although I lived in her house, I was very independent with money, very independent minded. And I think she had learned to trust that her daughter is not someone that makes impulsive decisions. She's not irrational, you know. So I think my mom trusting the wisdom of God at work within me helped her. And now she's just like, yeah, my daughter is a minister. Yeah, she's going to be the next Joyce Meyer. Yeah, now my mom absolutely loves it. So it took a lot of conversations back and forth for her to see that, you know, actually she'll be like, oh, sending me job opportunities, part-time work opportunities, full-time work opportunities. I'm like, mom, not for this season. This is what the Lord has for me. And I think when I started praying about her more, praying about my parents more, praying about people more, I felt like the Lord began to reveal to them more so that, okay, this path is a bit different that I have for Iffy. So let her be as she follows it.
Wow. Wow. That's phenomenal, because I can't imagine. I remember when I decided I didn't want to be a lawyer anymore. I didn't even bother telling, like, family. I just found a different job. And my dad was like, he still tells people, my daughter is a barrister. I'm like, yeah, I don't actually do that on a day-to-day. But, yeah.
Did you study at uni?
As a second degree, yes.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay.
I went back to school. So I did it as a second degree. But I quickly decided it wasn't going to be my path. And God confirmed it several times. So I, like you, I'm very comfortable in what I'm doing. It's just getting people on board with the vision that God has given you.
They won't always see it.
Yeah.
And they won't see it the way you see it as well. And a lot of people try to tweak the vision. Oh yeah, did God really say, are you sure? Perhaps you can combine it.
You can do an evening job.
Yeah.
You don't really need to.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. You have to be sure. And I think not just being sure in and of yourself, because I also believe that the Lord confirms his word in community.
Yeah.
So what does your pastor think? What do your mentors think? What are your sisters that are praying for you think? Let all of you seek God, because as God has revealed it to you, he'll reveal it to them as well.
Yeah.
I'm always reminded that the angel that appeared to Mary appeared to Joseph as well.
Yeah.
So he doesn't mind confirming his word to many people.
Yeah.
It's just, whose voice are we listening to? So not to just run on our own inspiration or our own, you know, Jesus told me, but, you know, God, reveal it to my leaders. And I think that's why it's important to be under leadership as well, every single one of us, people that can be shepherds over our souls, and ultimately point us in the right direction when it comes to these difficult decisions.
Mm-hmm. And for those, you know, parents or leaders or friends out there, and you've got someone around you who seems to be making the wackiest decision to your mind, ask for God to show you as well, right? yes, it's on them to try and explain it, but you also ask for God to show you. I'm reminded from when Iffy mentioned Mary and Joseph that with the story of Samson, Samson's father was like, okay, Lord, now show me. Mm-hmm. And then the same angel appeared to Samson's father that had appeared to Samson's mother to tell them that they were going to birth a deliverer.
God doesn't mind confirming
He does not mind. And he will speak to as many people as is necessary in order to get them to understand the call on that specific person's life. So if you do have someone around you and you're just not sure, there are no two children that are the same. There are no two destinies that are the same. And I know we live in a cookie cutter generation where we all think we're so different, but we're really not that different.
Yeah.
God is not a cookie cutter. And so when he created each and every one of us, he designed what our destinies would look like. And for those of us who are brave enough to step out and do it, let's be a support system rather than a condemnation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, our time is like spent. Wow. I cannot believe it. I think we've only had the one music break, so we better go for another one. This is Jonathan McReynolds' Cycles.
See, the devil, he learns from your mistakes, even if you don't. That's how he keeps you in cycles, 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 cycles. But I'm not going inside. Different fighter now, and I have got to thank, 'cause his joy is my strength. See, the devil will learn it's a mistake when I am sure, oh, that I'm not going in cycles. I'm not going in cycles. Lord, help me. Peace.
Thank you for sticking with us. So that song, Cycles, I have absolutely fallen in love with it. Jonathan McReynolds, go out and get yourself a copy. Anyways, I'm still here with Iffy Alexis Lee.
Hey.
I love adding the Lee. I don't even know if she's officially added it onto her ministry name, but I'm going to add
somewhat,
it.
Somewhere.
Right, so as we close off, because we've spent a lot of time talking already, I wanted her to tell us a little bit about her university's tour and what one can expect.
So this is our third year running. The first year was really just a leap of faith, where I was like, okay, God, there's so many young souls at university. Mm. University was a time where I became radicalized for God. So I was like, okay, we need to get back there. Mm. And I'd love to have like a big sister, little sister sleepover-ish kind of a thing. And then that's what we started off with. You know, in our first year, we looked at relationships in terms of how to deal with your friendships and stuff like that. In our second year, we looked at the unique purpose of a woman, why God created two genders and not one, not three, not four. What differentiates a woman from a man? Is it purely the ability to bear children? So we looked at that. And this year, what was really on my heart for the tour was singleness and relationships. Mm. Discussing singleness in depth, you know, God's design, God's purpose for singleness. And under that comes sexual purity. It comes, you know, single, whole-minded devotion to God. And then looking at relationships with people that are trying to navigate their way through singleness into relationships and stuff like that. I guess effective boundary setting and stuff like that. So it's going to be amazing. We have people that have been married for years. We have people that are single that are going to be coming to share the word as well.
Love it.
I'll be there. And it's a workshop. It's designed to be interactive on campuses. So we hold and we play games. We have discussions, debates. We have speakers. It's like a mini... It's a mini workshop at your university.
At your university.
Yeah.
So how does one get you to come to their university?
Oh, it's so straightforward. So if you or someone you know is a leader for a group or a society or a fellowship on campus, because we always partner with whatever's on ground, then you can just register your university, lovelimitless.com/UKUT. Which is the UK University Tour. And if you register, a member of the team will get back to you. We have some dates finalized already. And we're starting next week, which is exciting. Going to start traveling.
Where
are
you starting at?
Starting in Kiel.
Kiel?
Staffordshire.
Yeah.
And then we'll be in Kent Medway as well next week. So
nice.
It's going to be fun. You know, I'm excited for what the Lord will do on the tour this year. And then it's going to be amazing.
That is amazing. And so is the plan to radicalize every university at some point? And I, to be honest, I don't like using that word radicalize just because it's become so politicized.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the essence, to turn people for Christ.
Literally give them a passion, you know, through the Holy Spirit to just burn for him, to run for him. I think when people see other people living that life, it's such a great help to their faith. I remember a tour that we were at, I think it was University of Staffordshire 2 years ago, and one of the ladies during our feedback session, she just said, you know, the greatest thing I'm taking away is that you're young like me, and if you can serve God, then I can serve God too.
Wow.
And I was like, if that's all you're taking away,
hallelujah,
that is enough. That is really enough. That's all you need to take away. Mm. That it is possible. A lot of people don't think it's possible, but we're here to show them that it is possible. That we might be slightly older in age, we might even be your age, but we're here to show you that you can live a life that pleases God. And I think because we look like them, we sound like them, you know, I think they're able to relate with the message that's coming and just see that actually, yeah, I want to live for God. I want to do it.
Wow, that is actually phenomenal. So is there like a cost to you coming out? How does it work?
So yeah, there's a fee associated with it, and that's purely to cover our accommodation, our transport. It's £150, and that really covers the bare minimum. So we also have been raising partners to also kind of help and support, which has been good. So for people that, for universities that can't afford it, you know, we have people that are like, okay, you know, I'll pay for it.
Yeah.
And that's amazing when you meet like older saints that are like, I'll support a younger saint. help. So yeah, we're also raising partners for the tour as well.
Oh, hallelujah. And So when you come to a campus, is it for one night? Is it for a day? What's your general layout?
So it's for a night. I typically there during the day. We kind of hand out flyers, do some evangelism on campus. And then in the evening, we're, you know, we hold the workshop on campus.
Yeah. How big is your team? You keep saying we. So I'm sure there's a team.
There's about 15 of us.
Wow.
Yeah, there's about 15 of us. Amazing ladies that love God, that are passionate as well.
Wow.
And I think it's amazing when you're working with people that carry the vision so well, that want to see souls saved, that want to see souls discipled, not just converted, but discipled.
Mm.
It's amazing.
Wow. Right. So if you're out there, whether you have a Christian society on campus or not, feel free to reach out to Love Limitless.
Yes.
This is a shout out for the ladies who are listening. Reach out to Love Limitless for the UK UT. I've said that right?
Perfect.
Yeah. And you can register online. That sounds phenomenal. Thank you so much for coming through.
My pleasure.
But before we go, got a naughty little question for you.
Okay.
So you've been married circa, I don't know, a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
What is the best thing about being married?
The best thing. There's a lot of best things.
Okay.
There's a lot of best things. But I think being married to your biggest supporter, the person that pushes, me sometimes further than I want to go, but pushes me to continue to become everything that God has for me, that doesn't accept mediocrity even when I do. Being married to someone who perpetually encourages me to be more, to do more, to go for gold, and to not settle has been amazing. And it's like, oh, like I can wake up and talk to you. I have a dream and a vision. I can share it with you and I can entrust it to you and you can entrust yours to me. I think that that's been one of the greatest things that I've enjoyed, being able to share my hopes and dreams and share what the Lord's placed in my heart and vice versa, and just receive that support through it all.
That sounds beautiful. And on that note, I hope to receive you and Mr. Lee maybe this time next year. Hey. Look at me already making a diary invitation.
I'll ask it.
Thank you so much for coming onto the show.
My absolute pleasure.
For everyone who's listening, because if you said something just as we were starting, she said, if you don't do it, you better do it by choice before circumstances make you do it.
That's right.
On that note, I promise everyone listening that I'm going to have the shows on SoundCloud.
Yes.
And probably YouTube as well over the next month.
Yes.
That's a promise.
That's right.
Yeah. Have a great week, everybody, and tune in next week.
For you to be glorified, for you to be glorified.